Most people that I talk with and you kind of engage with and interact with, they never say, I could use a lot more criticism in my life. In fact, most of us say, look, if I never had another critic in my life would seem a lot better. Why? Because criticism goes ahead and it speaks into our life and it brings up things like fear. It makes fear very real. For many people, it makes disappointment very real. It's a very difficult thing for us to go ahead and look at and navigate our way through. And sometimes criticism can just be overwhelming. Why? Because we don't like to be criticized. So naturally, when we are criticized, we try and go ahead and make it right in some way, shape, or form. Recently, I was just reading a story, and it's kind of humorous because we've all been there at some point in time in a scenario like this. It's a story about a father and son, and they're traveling, and obviously it took place years ago, but as they're traveling through the towns that they're going through, they're just kind of taking some of the stuff that they have with them, and they're just making a small little trip, but in the process of that, they're criticized. The father takes his son, and he takes a donkey along with him, and as they're on this first leg of the trip, the father is riding the donkey, and he hears a lady in one of the little remote villages go ahead and say, man, look at that guy riding the donkey. How could he go ahead and make his son walk as far in this hot weather as he has? So the dad goes ahead, and he thinks, you know, maybe I should go ahead and change this up. So the dad gets off the donkey and puts his son on the donkey, and then they go ahead and walk a little further, and then they hear this voice from somewhere else that goes ahead and speaks this. I can't believe that little boy is riding up on the donkey and making his father walk in this hot weather. And so the dad goes ahead, and they both get off the donkey, and they're just walking the donkey through the town and the village, and here's what happens. You guessed it. Somebody says, look at those two dummies walking the donkey. Why aren't they riding the donkey? Okay, so now they go ahead and they ride the donkey, and somebody else says, I can't believe those two are making that donkey work so hard. Well, the story ends with them coming into the next village. The son is walking and the dad is carrying the donkey, right? Sometimes we go to some great lengths to go ahead and minimize critics in our life. But the bottom line is this, none of us like to be criticized. None of our young people over here this morning would raise their hand and say, hey, moms, dads, I want you to criticize me more. They wouldn't go to school and tell their teachers, look, I want you to go ahead and just be a little more critical, speak a little more criticism into my life. And none of us would like that in our life as well. But you see, here's the challenging thing. Sometimes when we come to Christ, we have a relationship with Jesus and we are a Christ follower, we automatically think there's really not going to be criticism. We buy into this concept that maybe life won't be difficult anymore and there's not going to be any challenges. Well, for the past few weeks, we've been talking about finding freedom in Christ. Freedom from things like shame and guilt. Freedom from trying to be good enough, because many of us live right there. And here's what we've said. We've said this, we're only going to find freedom and truth, right? The only way we can move beyond guilt and shame and the hardships and struggles of life is to go and find out the truth. The only way that we can go ahead and live free in that new identity that comes through a relationship with Jesus is to know who we are, but it's also to know whose we are. And we've talked about that from Galatians chapter 5. We've talked about how we go ahead and quit trying to be good enough, because no matter how good we are, and no matter how much we get down in life and think, man, I've got this figured out, and I've got it established in my life, and I've got this pattern, and now I'm going to be good enough. Here's the bottom line, is we're never good enough outside of the grace of God. Well, today we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture about some people who came to Jesus, about some people who were following Jesus, and guess what? They got criticized for following Jesus. They got criticized because they were relying on the grace of God. And do you know what happened? As they're criticized for following Jesus, as they're criticized for relying on the grace of God, there was a great temptation in their life to go ahead and move away from the grace of God. There was a great temptation and pressure to go ahead and move in a different direction and say, okay, we're going to give in to the fear of not being accepted. We're going to give in to the fear of being rejected. We're going to go ahead and give in to this concept that maybe grace isn't the answer, and we're going to move away from Jesus, and we're going to go back to trying to take care of things ourselves. And here's what we're going to discover. We're going to discover that the Word of God says that will never work. That'll never be the answer. We're going to discover that even in the face of the critic, the answer for your life and for my life is to go ahead and rely on Jesus Christ and the freedom that he can give. So today, if you'd like to go ahead and be free from criticism, if you'd like to be free from the critic in your life, here's what we're going to find out. We're going to find out that criticism is really a condition of the heart. And how we respond to it reveals and reflects a condition of our heart. Reveals and reflects a condition of maybe the choices that we've made and decided to go along with. So let's go ahead and take a look at Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to discover a couple of verses. But before I go ahead and take a look at those verses, I want to go ahead and share this with you. There was a study that came from Wake Forest University. And here's what it says. It says that critical people are actually unhappier people, and they showed a higher risk of depression and other related issues. Here's what it says. It says, destructive criticism, rejection, and humiliation are processed in the same part of the brain. It's the part that regulates our feeling of pain. If we give that some thought, we're going to realize that critical people are less satisfied with their lives. There are people who need to knock down the external to bring up the internal. Do you know what that's really saying? It's saying that many times in life, critical people are hurting on the inside, and they try and go ahead and level things on the outside so that they can reduce the pain that's going on in their own life. And when we look at this passage of Scripture, here's what we're going to discover. We're going to discover a group of people who are actually struggling and hurting themselves. They don't have the answers to life, and they're searching, and they're trying to be accepted, and they're trying to be good enough, and they're trying to get things right, yet they come across this grace thing. They come across this group of people who are grace-oriented, and they're relying on Jesus, and they say, wow, this is way too easy. There's no way it could be resolved like that. Well, here's what the Apostle Paul writes. Here's what he says in verse number 1, Galatians chapter 5. He says, stand fast. Two important words, stand fast. He says, I want you to hold on. I want you to kind of buckle down. I want you to dig in. Therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Do you know what Paul's saying? Paul's saying, look, stand fast in this grace thing. Go ahead and hold on to grace, because grace is what makes us free. What makes us free from the struggles of life? Grace. What helps us to go ahead and overcome the power of sin? Grace. What goes ahead and brings us a freedom in the basic things of life that we can enjoy and be able to go ahead and kind of breathe deeply in? It's this grace aspect. He said it's made us free. It's given us liberty. And then he says this, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. You remember last Sunday, we said sometimes we come to Jesus, and sometimes we say, look, I'm a sinner and I'm not perfect, and I need Jesus to forgive me of my sins. And we do that, but then we spend a large part of our life trying to be good enough. And here's what we've discovered, that no matter how good we are, we're never going to be good enough. The only one that was good enough is Jesus Christ. The only one that could go ahead and meet that ultimate criteria for how good is good enough. Jesus is the answer to that. And you and I have to get our goodness from him, because on our own, we don't have any to go ahead and stack up. Paul says, look, there's going to be the challenge. There's going to be the thought process where I can go ahead and just think to myself, look, I'm a Christian, but I'll still try and be good enough. I'm a Christian, but I'll still try and take care of all of these things myself. And he says, look, you need to stand fast, because here's what happens. One minute we're holding on to grace, and another minute somebody else is saying, you're really not as good as you think you are. Another minute somebody else is saying, you know what, God really doesn't love you. Another minute fear speaks into our life, and we begin to go ahead and take hold of these things, and we're no longer holding on and clinging to the grace that God has placed in our life. So he says, look, I want you to stand fast. I want you to dig in and hold on to that. We're going to skip ahead a few verses, and we're going to take a look at verse number 7. And here's what he says. He says, you ran well. He said, you were doing good. Things were making progress in your life. And then he says this, who hindered you from obeying the truth? He says, what's holding you back? Why have you traded the freedom that you had and you enjoyed? What's keeping you right where you are? What's paralyzing you? What's keeping you from making progress? Isn't it amazing sometimes in our own life as individuals? We can go ahead and we can look at some things that are maybe paralyzing us. Have you ever noticed how fear does that? We're afraid of what people think of us. We're afraid of what people are going to say, right? We're afraid of that criticism, so we begin to just go ahead and sit there and we begin to occupy space and we're being hindered. Something is holding us back. Something is keeping us from moving forward. Paul says, look, here's the temptation. You're going to go ahead and have this grace thing. There's going to be those that are going to say you're not good enough. There's going to be those that are going to be critical. There are going to be those that are going to speak into your life things that are not true. And you're going to be tempted to walk away. And here's what's going to happen. It's never better than grace. It's never more than grace. And you're going to find yourself in a place where you did run well, and you're no longer obeying the truth if you walk away from it. He says, this persuasion does not come from him who calls you. Paul says, I want you to hold on to this grace thing because this grace thing comes from Jesus. And he says, we need to go ahead and walk away from the other things because the other things are not coming from Jesus. Jesus doesn't go ahead and speak words of criticism. Jesus doesn't speak words of fear. Jesus isn't trying to hinder us or hold us back. He's not trying to go ahead and cause us to become stagnant and stable in this life where we're right here never making any movement towards him or for him. So what's Paul saying about this concept of criticism? One of the first things that he tells us in that first verse, and we've talked about it every week, and we're going to talk about it again for just a quick moment. He just says, look, I want to go ahead and give you the caution to stand. He said, I want to get your attention, and I want you to go ahead and hold to a position. What does it mean to stand fast? It means to know, to hold a position or a place. So what Paul is saying is this, you're now a child of God in this grace thing. You're now a part of the family of God, and don't trade it for anything. You've got a new position and you've got a new place. You're now a son, you're no longer a servant. You're now at the Father's table. You're inside the Father's house. Don't trade that for anything. You see, we've all had things in this life where we thought, man, I could go ahead and I could trade what I have and get something better. Anybody ever been there before? Right, well, I mean, we've been there before. We've had a home and we've thought, wow, if I could go ahead and sell this, I could get something better. We've had a car where we said, look, if I could just get rid of this, if I could pay somebody to take it, if I could pay somebody to accept it on trade, my life would just be better. Here's a temptation. Sometimes we go ahead and we think, man, if I could just have more of this life and what it has to offer, I would be a better person. And Paul says, look, don't trade your position and your place in Jesus for anything. Don't let anything erode it, because he says it never gets better than Jesus. Just say that with me. It never gets better than Jesus. Let's just say that together. It never gets better than Jesus. Well, one more time. It never gets better than Jesus. Why is that so important? Because Paul's writing to a group of people where he says, look, there's people around you that are trying to get you to trade this Jesus thing. They're trying to get you to trade the grace of God. He says, so I want you to take caution to hold on to that position in Christ. He says, you were a sinner, now you're a saint. You were an orphan, now you're a child of God. You were trying to be good enough, but now there's this grace thing, and this grace thing covers all of it, and it gives you an absolute, unbelievable freedom, and it never gets better than who Jesus is and what Jesus has for your life. So he says, look, I want to go ahead and I want to caution you to stand. But then he says this. He says, I want to caution you about the critic. In verse number 7, he says, you ran well. Who's holding you back? Who's holding you back? And then he says, I know that somebody's speaking into your life. This persuasion does not come from the one who called you to grace. He says there's another voice. There's something or someone that's speaking into your life, and you are giving it your attention. Let me ask you something. How many of you have ever been criticized by someone and it just caught your attention and you couldn't get it out of your mind? Just be honest. Anybody ever been there? Right? That's happened. I'll never forget. I had been in ministry, and I'd been preaching and pastoring for right at 6 years, and I walked out one day, and we're getting ready to go ahead and start the service, and literal comment, like, a lady came up to me, and I thought she thought that she was, like, doing me a huge favor, but whatever it was, it certainly wasn't a great favor at that point in time, and here's what she did. She just came and said it straight face, really serious. She said, look, I've got a prayer request. We've got some people here this morning that are upset that you're preaching today. Yeah. They thought that your dad was going to speak today. They came to hear him, and you're here. But I just want you to know you ought to pray for them. And my initial thought is, yeah, I'll pray for them, and I'll pray for you, right? And you think I'm kidding. I am not kidding. I want to tell you something. That made such an impact. I could take you to the exact location at that spot and stand there. I could put you right where I was at the moment. I just take you. You're getting ready. I mean, you've studied all week. You've prepared. And somebody says, look, I just want you to know we got some people. You need to go ahead and pray for them. I thought, lady, I need to pray for you. Who would say something like that to someone? You know, here's the reality. At some point in time, we've all said something to someone that we really shouldn't go ahead and say. And here's what Paul says. Look, they're speaking something into your life that's getting your attention. And here's the truth. Sometimes the attention that we give the critic is way more than the attention that we give Christ. And Paul says, I can tell you this, it's not worth it. So let's go ahead and refocus. He cautions us against the critic. And here's what he goes on to tell us. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, he's speaking about the same thing. All of Galatians is this concept about how we got to rely on grace. And there's people and there's places and there's things that are going to try and get us to be good enough, or trying to get us to keep the law, right? Trying to get us to do a list of do's and don'ts. And Paul over and over and over talks about it. So in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 4, it says this. And this occurred because of false brethren, secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Do you remember in Galatians chapter 5, Paul said, look, don't go ahead and get entangled with that bondage. Don't get entangled with something that's going to enslave you, something that's going to keep you. He says the same thing in Galatians chapter 2. It's a recurring theme. He says, we don't want to get caught up in something that's going to hold us back and bring us down. We don't want to get caught up in something that's going to go ahead and enslave us. In verse number 5, here's what he says. He says, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul goes ahead and says, look, there's some that came in and they just wanted to be critical. He said, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep your attention and your affection on Christ and not the critic. What Paul is telling us here is this. In Galatians 5, verse number 1, he says, I want to caution you to stand, because every one of us is going to face some difficulties in life. But here's what he tells us in Galatians chapter 2 when we go back and we compare Scripture with Scripture. He tells us why the critic comes. So if we could just go ahead and work our way through a few things in that passage, here's what we're going to find. The critic comes to go ahead and they don't come to build us up. They don't come to go ahead and make a positive difference. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse number 7 and 8, he says, look, they've hindered you. They're holding you back. Don't get caught up in that. In verse number 1, he says, don't give in to that. He says, don't get entangled in it, because the critic is going to go ahead and make an attempt to destroy. When he talks about the critic in verse number 4 of Galatians chapter 2, he says, they're false brethren. He says, they go ahead and they come to spy us out. If you go ahead and look at this, here's what he says. false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty or our freedom or our grace, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us back to trying to be good enough, back to trying to figure this thing out on our own. Do you know what that means? That the phrase to spy out literally means, and here is exactly what it means. It means to examine carefully with hostile intent. To examine carefully with hostile intent. So Paul says, look, let's talk about this thing called the critic. The critic has come to go ahead and spy us out. What does that mean? It means to compare. That's the first thing. You see, the critic always goes ahead and compares. Criticism, here's just a quick, simple definition. The critic, or criticism, one who expresses an unfavorable opinion, one who judges the value or quality of someone or something else. And when we look at this passage of Scripture in Galatians chapter 2, here's what happens. He says he comes in to go ahead and compare. He comes in to go ahead and compare with the express intent of giving a hostile report. What does that mean? That means when we go ahead and we're critical of other people, we're lining ourselves up with something that Paul says, look, don't even go ahead and go. No one here has ever been criticized without the word comparison being brought to mind. Because here's what we do. We go ahead and we're critical of it based on a comparison. People say, well, I just don't like that. It doesn't look as good as this, or it's not the same as that. Why? Because we're always comparing ourselves. Sometimes we have difficulty like that in our relationships with people, right? We just go ahead and say things without even thinking. Why can't you be like? Well, the answer to that is because I'm not him. I'm not her. Nothing wrong with that. That's what takes place in our life. And here's what was taking place in the book of Galatians. Common, ordinary people trying to make progress in this Jesus relationship, trying to learn more about him. And in come some people who are false brethren, meaning they just don't believe in the gospel of grace. They don't believe that Jesus did what he said he was going to do and what they were placing their faith and hope in. And they began to come in and they began to compare them with the old ways. They compared them with how things used to be. Did you know what the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12? The Apostle Paul writes a really long verse to go ahead and essentially say this. He says, don't compare ourselves by ourselves. It's not a wise thing. Do you know there's never a time in Scripture where the Bible says, I want you to go ahead and compare yourself to the person sitting next to you? Because I'm going to tell you something. When I go ahead and compare myself to the person sitting next to me, if I don't measure up according to the person on the right, I'm going to check and see if there's anybody there on the left that I can go ahead and measure up against, right? And if I don't measure up very well there, guess what? I'm changing seats. That's just what we do. I mean, we don't necessarily focus on changing ourselves first. We just go ahead and say, I'm going to move on down the road, and I'm going to get a new comparison. Do you know what was happening? Do you know what was happening? This group of people that had come in, that are called false brethren, ones that didn't adhere to the gospel, ones that didn't want to follow Jesus and his grace. Do you know what they were doing? They were going from place to place and they were comparing. And they were saying, you don't measure up. They were going from place to place and they were saying, man, we're comparing you to the other people in the other place. And guess what? It's just not working. Can I tell you something? Here's the reality. We don't need to compare ourselves to other people. We always need to be comparing ourselves to Jesus Christ and how we are measuring up according to his word and his plan and his purpose for our life. And Paul says you're missing out on the freedom because you're letting somebody else that's not even one who follows Jesus come in and criticize you for following Jesus Christ. You see, they criticize Jesus. They're going to criticize his followers. But here's a tragedy. Sometimes his followers criticize other followers. We begin to go ahead and become a critic of others. Paul says, look, there's no freedom in that. There's no freedom in that. No freedom in being a critic of others because we compare them to a standard that we pick and we choose and we typically measure up to in our mind. But that's not what it's about. He says, I want to tell you something else. The critic comes and condemns. The critic comes and condemns. You know, as I was reading and looking just at a few things this morning, I came across Revelation chapter 12, and in Revelation chapter 12, it teaches us that the accuser of the brethren one day will be no more. The accuser of the brethren is Satan, and we also know him as a critic, because the critic Satan goes ahead and speaks things into our life to condemn us. The critic Satan wants to go ahead and compare us maybe to what we used to be or what we think somebody else is. And he begins to go ahead and compare us, and fear speaks into our life and lies speak into our life. And then all of a sudden we feel like we're not good enough and we're not doing this right and we don't measure up. And again, we're right back at a standard. You see, the critic always goes ahead and picks a standard to compare by that brings the next word, which is just to condemn us. Just stop and think about that for a moment. Paul says, look, you have freedom in Jesus, and here's what's taking place. You're being compared, and you're buying into it. You're letting it take place, and it's a comparison that condemns you. In John chapter 10, Jesus tells us, look, the thief comes to kill and what? Destroy. How does that take place? It takes place by being compared to perfection and knowing that we don't measure up. That's what happens. But Jesus said of himself, he said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. You see, the truth is this. Jesus didn't go ahead and come to condemn us. The law has already condemned us. Our sin has already condemned us. He came to set us free from the power of sin and the power of death. And Paul says, look, don't go back. And sometimes we get that settled in our relationship with Jesus and we're walking in him, but there's still the temptation for us to be critical of other people, to compare, to go ahead and condemn. Well, Paul says, look, they're comparing and they're condemning because they want to go ahead and control. The critic comes to compare, to condemn you so that they can go ahead and control you. Listen to what happened in the life of Peter. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 11. Paul talks about the experience that Peter had. Now just keep this in mind. Peter was the one that would always go ahead and say the first word, right? Peter was the one that said, Jesus, I'm going to be right there with you, and there's no way I'm ever going to fail you, but we know he failed. But we know that when we look through, Peter was always an outspoken person. He never had a problem going ahead and speaking his mind, which was often a problem for him and created problems for other people. But when we begin to look at his life, here's what happens. In verse number 11, Galatians chapter 2, Paul writes this. He says, now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face. Paul says, look, when Peter got there, I came and I got in his grill, right? He says, I came and I talked to him, and it wasn't in such a nice way. And here's why. He says, before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself. Get this, fearing those who were of the circumcision. What did Peter do? Peter began to go ahead and back away. You see, in his life, the scripture makes it plain in those two verses that the critic and fear kept him from freedom in Christ. Peter's a preacher in the early church. Peter goes ahead and gives one of the most powerful messages that's ever delivered and helps the whole church get started in this grace thing to begin to take a movement. But pretty soon somebody shows up, speaks a little criticism. He hears of it, and what's he do? He begins to go ahead and back away. Can I tell you something? Don't let the critic get all of your attention. Keep your attention and your affection focused on Christ, because what Christ says and what Christ wants is far more important. And that's why Paul says, stand fast, because Christ is the answer for all of our internal struggles. Christ is the answer for any issue and struggle we have in this life. Just as Christ is the answer for sin and the freedom from sin, Christ is the answer for freedom in this life. And Paul says, look, it happened to Peter. They came in, they compared him. They were condemning him so they could control him. So what's the answer? The answer is the only thing we can do. We continue in freedom. And how do we do that? In Christ. That's why Paul says, hold on to the gospel. That's why Paul says, hold on to who Jesus is and what he has done for you and what he says about you. Because there's going to be those that want to come and take that from you. They want to take that concept of forgiveness away and having what Jesus done for you be erased in your mind. They want to keep you wondering if you're good enough. They want to go ahead and speak fear and lies into your life and criticize you so they can condemn you and control you and get you to back away from Jesus. Because if they can go ahead and get you to back away from Jesus, then maybe it'll keep you from reaching someone for Jesus. Maybe it'll keep you from being everything that Jesus wants you to be. Paul says, continue in Christ. That's the only answer that we have. He says, stand strong and continue in Christ. What does it mean to continue in freedom in Christ? He says, continue in grace. Verse number 5 of Galatians chapter 2. He said, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul said they were critical of us, but we didn't go ahead and give in. We continued in grace. He said we have a greater passion for grace than trying to be good enough. We have a greater passion for grace than for the critic. He says we want to go ahead and continue in faith. What's it mean to continue in faith? It just means to go ahead and continue our trust and our growth in Jesus Christ and who he is. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 7, it tells us to be rooted in him. It just means to sink down and learn more of who Jesus says we are. But do you notice that Paul also said, look, there's some false believers, some people who don't buy into this grace thing. What was he telling us? He was telling us to go ahead and contend for the faith, because in Jude, verse 3 and verse 4, that's what happens. He says that we earnestly contend for the faith. How do we do that? He's talking about contending for the faith as a whole, but he's talking about contending for the faith in your life and in my life. He's talking about you standing in the grace of God and knowing what it is and what it's about and holding on to that. Do you know what Paul tells us? He tells us that criticism, it's a condition of the heart. You know what Jesus tells us? Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, that out of the heart proceed the issues and the struggles of life. Paul said criticism is a condition of the heart. You see, there were people that were miserable and they didn't know Jesus, and they were trying to keep the people that knew Jesus, they were trying to bring them back and take them out of it. What's the answer? First and foremost is there's freedom from our greatest critic, Satan, and it's found in Jesus. It's found in a relationship with him. The second thing is this: if criticism is a condition of the heart, we have to make certain that our heart is right so that we're not critical of other people. Because Paul says it's a condition of the heart. Jesus says it's a condition of the heart. So we come back and we say, okay, Lord, I'm going to go ahead and focus on the freedom that I have in your word and in your grace and who it says I am. When we look at what unfolded, ultimately what we see is this. Who are we going to let control us? The critic or Christ? Criticism or grace? Paul says, don't trade the grace of God for anything. When you have it, when you place your faith in him, let his grace control your life. Not the critic. Not criticism, but Christ. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you today and we thank you for who you are. Lord, I know today that there are many of us who've had people be critical. And Father, sometimes it's hard to move beyond, but Father, I pray that you would help us to let all of those things go and realize that we're free from the critic in you because you make us free. We don't have to be controlled by it. We don't have to be manipulated by it. We can just rest in the freedom that you give. Father, I pray that today you would help us to know that freedom. Father, I ask that today you would help us not only to know that freedom, but Father, that you would help us to not go ahead and give in to criticism and being critical of other people. Father, I ask you today that as we go ahead and have a moment to reflect, that you would help us to put our faith and our trust in you, that you would help us to look to you. But Father, that you would help us to come to your grace. Or if there's one here that doesn't know you as Savior, I ask that today they would come to know you. Father, if there's one here today that's experienced criticism, I pray today that you would free them from that. Lord, if there's some of us here today that, as much as we maybe don't want to admit, that we could often be critical of others, I pray that you would help us to quit being critical, to quit comparing, condemning, and controlling. God, to rest in your freedom. Father, whatever the need might be, I ask that you would speak to hearts today. For it's in Christ's name. In just a moment, as we stand together and sing, if you know the words to the song, you can sing along. But most importantly today, if you don't know Jesus and who he is, I want to invite you to know more about the one who loves you, who gave his life for you, who's already offered forgiveness and freedom that can only come through him. Today, if you don't know him, but you'd like to know more about his grace and his freedom, I want to encourage you to step out and come the moment we begin to sing. Maybe you're here today and you say, John, I know Jesus is my Savior, but quite honestly, I've been one who's been critical of others. And I need help with not being so critical. I need a little freedom from that as well. Maybe you've got something else going on in your life and you just need to pray. Either right where you are or up here at the altar, I just invite you to come and let God speak his truth into your life. Would you stand with me, please? Thank you.